From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody. This is your favorite radio host. Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. And I want to thank our good buddy Steve Gill for joining us yesterday, filling in. It's one of those days. Have you ever had one of those days where you have more things that you have to do than there are minutes and hours in the day? That was yesterday. And had to take a break. I was actually in the building, but Steve graciously came in and was so kind to fill in yesterday, did a terrific job. And we certainly appreciate the great Steve Gill. We have got a jam-packed show for you, and I will say this, congratulations to House Speaker Mike Johnson, congratulations to President Trump, because the one big beautiful bill passed the House of Representatives in the wee hours, in the dark of night. We were able to get it through, and look, I get it. I understand the frustration among many fiscal conservatives. I understand, but just be patient. We're going to be able to get through this. We've got 3 years, and we're going to be able to get through a lot of this stuff, and we're going to be able to accomplish a lot of the president's agenda. But for all of that to happen, you've got to lay a foundation, and that's what this one big beautiful bill does. It lays the foundation for President Trump to do what he needs to do. And it's a challenge, and I understand. And there are a lot of people in talk radio, and they claim to be conservative Trump supporters, and they're constantly beating Trump over the head. And it really bothers me, because those people are not being honest to you. They're really not Trump supporters. They're just afraid to give their true opinions because they're afraid you'll stop listening. And, you know, we're not like that. We tell it like it is. And I am telling you that in politics, there's always going to be compromise. It can't be my way or the highway. It never can be that. There's always going to be some compromise. What you have to decide as a politician, as a lawmaker, what are those non-negotiables? And as Republicans, we should have some non-negotiables out there. And I believe that President Trump is protecting our non-negotiables. Some people have small negotiables. Others have great big, huge negotiables. President Trump has massive negotiables that are non-negotiable. And the president has done a wonderful thing here. So let's see how the Senate goes. I think we're going to be okay. And I understand that, you know, there are some Republicans who are, dare I say, butt hurt over this. You're going to have to get over it. We can't have one person, whether that person be from Kentucky or New York or wherever, we can't have people stopping the president's agenda. We got to move forward here. So anyway, we'll take your calls on that later in the show. I want to talk about what happened last night in Washington, D.C. Now, it was a long day, and I went to bed early. Phone started blowing up, and it woke me up. And I saw the news about this terrorist attack in Washington, D.C. And this is just horrible, a horrible situation. And I'm not surprised by this. Now, according to the reporting, and by the way, we have all the videos over at toddstearns.com. And I would encourage you to head over to our website and watch the videos. And you're going to see exactly what happened. So the tragedy here, and this is what is really sad for me, is the two individuals who were killed. If you go back to the October 7th terrorist attacks, and let's just back up. Can we just back up for just a minute? And let me set the stage for what we're about to do here. There's a huge divide, a huge rift, a chasm, if you will, that has developed in the conservative movement. And this chasm, on one side, you have people like Mark Levin. On the other side, you have people like Tucker Carlson. And I would say Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, Tucker Carlson, and many others. And the divide is between Israel and what our allegiance and devotion to Israel should be. Now, I would put myself somewhere hovering over the chasm. And I want to explain what I mean by that. I believe that God has set aside Israel, the nation of Israel, as a special nation, the Jewish people as God's chosen people. And I believe that through the teachings, through the my religious beliefs as a Southern Baptist, as an evangelical Christian. And so I've always believed that, you know, ever since going back to, you know, when I could start understanding those concepts and that teaching. There are many who believe that whatever happens to Israel, that we should always be by Israel's side. And I'm one of those people. I believe they are our most important ally in the Middle East. I also believe that we should always stand with Israel. And the Bible warns us about what happens to nations that do not stand with Israel. And I believe that we should heed the Bible's admonitions on that. And that transcends the politics of the day. But there are others who say, no, we should not be doing anything to help Israel. Israel is their own, it's its own country. They should be able to govern themselves. They should be able to defend themselves. And we have no business getting involved in anything over there. And it's very clear since the founding of Israel as a nation, 1949, going back to that time when the United States has always, it's been in lockstep. And the conservative movement at large has been in lockstep. But many on Tucker Carlson's side would say that the Israelis have an unusually large amount of influence and sway on our government and the affairs of this nation. And they say that should not be. It is a dangerous thing. Then you have the Ben Shapiros and the Mark Levins of the world, and they're out there saying, we must defend Israel at all costs, and we must be aggressive about that. And if that means going to war against Iran, that means going to war against Iran. Now, this is where I'm at, because I'm straddling, I'm sort of hovering over these two trains of thought. And here's where I stand. I believe that Israel is set aside, and I believe that we should do whatever is humanly necessary to stand with our ally Israel. That being said, I believe that we should always put America's interest above anybody else's, including Israel's. I believe that the America first, the very essence of being America first, is to put America first and not Israel. Now, that doesn't make me an anti-Semite, and somebody like Ben Shapiro would turn around and he would say, well, that Todd Starsky's an anti-Semite. He talks really fast. That's my Ben Shapiro. Can we rewind that again? I need to do a better job on my Ben. This is my Ben Shapiro accent. There is that train of thought. Then you've got Candace Owens out there, and she's got a completely different take on all of this. But I think the average American, I believe the average American feels the same way I do, that we've got to take care of our interest first. And in doing so, and it's not just Israel, I would say that about the UK, about Poland, the French, I would say that about any other nation, is that we've got to take care of ourselves first. And here's the reason why, and hear me on this. We take care of ourselves first, and then we can help our allies. But I also don't believe that we need to be going in and blowing up Iran's nuclear plants, because that will lead to a world war. And I think we have to be smart about this. And Donald Trump is a smart man. Donald Trump, he is a tough, tough negotiator. And I don't believe that Donald Trump wants a world war. Now, there are some on the other side that say, well, if you don't want to blow Iran off the face of the earth, then you're the problem and you're an anti-Semite. And I'm like, wait, what? Wait, that is a huge leap. So, ladies and gentlemen, I see nothing wrong with dabbling toes in both ponds of thought here on this. I'm mixing metaphors, I understand, but bear with me for a moment. So all that to say is that something very ugly happened last night and in the aftermath of all of this, because many are now suggesting that this horrible attack outside the Capitol Jewish Museum in Washington was actually a false flag attack meant to precipitate launching an attack on Iran. That's what they're saying. Now, if you go back to October 7th, and this gets lost in all the media coverage of what happened with the terrorist attack, you need to understand who they attacked. Who is it that the radical Muslim extremist attacked on October 7th? They went after young people, kids at a music concert, kids probably, I would be willing to say most of them were probably liberal. And they slaughtered these kids. They took these kids hostage. They torture them in ways we can't even imagine. We're talking about vile evil. We're talking about monstrous satanic evil that was unleashed on Israel on October 7th. And nobody wants to talk about that. You know, if you listen to the Democrats on Capitol Hill now, it's almost as if October 7th was a military fight on both sides, and it wasn't. On one side, you had the heavily armed Hamas Muslim terrorist, and on the other side, you had a bunch of kids running around dancing at a music concert, promoting peace, for crying out loud. And then look at what happened last night. What was the event? It was an event for young people. Young professionals at the Capitol Jewish Museum, young professional diplomats. And this can't get lost, is that they're intentionally going after Israeli young people. I want to say something here. Look, we've got the whole show to talk about this. We have a lot of stuff to cover, a lot of ground to cover today. But I am curious to hear your thoughts on this issue of Israel. Do we stand by Israel no matter what? Do the interest of Israel supersede our own interest as a nation? Because this argument is literally being had, even as you and I are sitting here hanging out talking on the radio today, this conversation is being had not only, and it's not just at the Republican political level, this is a conversation among conservatives at large. But I want to say something here that, these young people, Sarah Milgram, she's from Prairie Village, Kansas, right outside of Kansas City, and her boyfriend, Yaron Leshinsky, and he is, it's just a heartbreaking story. They were gunned down outside. They were leaving the museum after the party. They were gunned down. And when her family back home in Kansas, when they found out what had happened, they did what anybody would do. And her sister picked up the phone and called her cell phone. And the phone rang and rang and rang. And then somebody answered the phone. And it was the U.S. ambassador to Israel. And that's when the family knew. They knew that she had been killed. What a terrible thing. Well, now we find out that they were planning this weekend, they were planning to go to Jerusalem together, and she was going to meet his family. His parents live in Israel, and Mr. Leshinsky, the young man, had purchased an engagement ring, and this coming weekend, he was going to pop the question. He was going to get down on bended knee and give her the engagement ring. This is just heartbreaking. And yet, just a terrible, terrible tragedy. Somebody stopped Ilhan Omar, and they asked her to weigh in on this. And Ilhan Omar could not be bothered to respond. She refused, number one, she refused to condemn the attack. And then number two, she refused to offer her condolences to the victims. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand something. The enemy lives among us. Ilhan Omar and her mindset, that is not some sort of anomaly on the left. People in large numbers literally feel like she does. It's really sad. But the enemy lives among us. And I'm telling you, these pro-Hamas demonstrators, and we're going to play a lot of audio here, but let me say something about the gunman. This guy, he needs to be killed. He needs the death penalty, and it ought to be a public execution. And maybe, just maybe, it might send a message. I don't think it is. I think there are a lot more people like this guy just waiting to attack not only the Jews, but the Christians. And hear me on this, and I'm putting these three groups together because we need to understand what we're dealing with here. These radical Islamists, they're coming after the Jews, the Christians, and the gays, and not necessarily in that order. So everybody better start paying attention. And I understand what these young people did because they're good-hearted young people. They invited this guy. They didn't realize he was the gunman into the building. You can't be doing crap like that. You've got to be on your guard at all times, ladies and gentlemen. All right, they're yelling at me. We got to take a break. 901-260-5926. Hang tight. We'll be right back. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. Now, he didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the best bed sheets ever. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Now, Mike is offering the best deal on his Giza Dream bed sheets, any size, any color. Just $49.98. That's right. You can even get the Queens, Kings, Split Kings, and Cal Kings. Any size, any color, just $49.98. Order now because when they're gone, they're gone. Also, for a limited time, when you order over $100 in merch, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Call 1-800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS or go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS for the amazing offer of $49.98 on the Giza Dream Sheets, any size, any color. That number again, 1-800-839-8506, promo code STARNS. All right. Good job, Mike Johnson. House Republicans working through the night. By the way, why do they do that? By the way, why do they do all of this while everybody else is sleeping? And by you know, the Republicans always complain when the Democrats do this, but the Republicans do the exact same thing. They need to figure out a better way to handle time management up there at Capitol Hill. Anyway, no tax on tips. You're going to get the Trump tax cuts. There increases in border security and no tax on overtime pay. So those are the big ticket items, and also no USAID funding. You remember them? Those guys, they were funding all sorts of crazy stuff. What is it? Turning the mice into transsexuals? Yeah. What is it? The south of the border drag queens. Remember that? In Bogota? You'd have to snort a lot of cocaine to get through one of those shows. So anyway, well done, Republicans. We shall see how the Republicans fare when it goes before the U.S. Senate. It passed 215 to 214. You might be wondering, wait a second, what? Well, it turns out that at least one of the Republicans fell asleep, allegedly. That would have been Garabino, who's a moderate Republican from New York. They said he took a break and just fell asleep. I'm not sure I believe that. By the way, Thomas Massey and Warren Davidson, they voted against the bill. A spokesperson for Garabino says he inadvertently skipped the vote after briefly stepping out of the House chamber. Okay, whatever. Anyway, good job. At the end of the day, it got through. And anyway, well done. Well done, Republicans. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, folks, welcome back. Good to have you with us today on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hang tight if you're on the phone lines. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to the Attorney General of the great state of Florida, James Uthmeyer. Mr. Attorney General, a pleasure to have you on the radio show today.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So you have been at the forefront of a fight to protect ladies and young girls, keeping these guys out of their locker rooms and off the sports teams. And there's a crazy story about one of these gyms called Lifetime Gym. And I want you to explain what's going on there and what was happening in the locker rooms.
Sure. So in Florida, you know, we've got a zero tolerance policy on men and girls' restrooms and locker rooms, and we still see evidence even in this great state of people trying to do this crazy stuff. So you can only imagine what's out there in the rest of the country. But a gym in Palm Beach County, they were allowing biological men to go into women's locker rooms if they felt like they identified their preference, whatever. That doesn't fit in Florida. We sent them a legal demand letter to change their behavior immediately or face legal action. And thankfully, they agreed to comply and immediately change their policy. So we're going to keep our eyes open. We're going to watch across the state, other gyms, other businesses. If you want to put women and girls in harm's way, if you want to subject them to fear and risk of danger and what really should be one, you know, the most private of places, we will hold you accountable.
I think one of the things I appreciate, there are two great things. First of all, you saw an issue and took action. And second of all, hats off to the business because they realized, oh, wait a second, we don't want to be on the wrong side of the law here.
That's right. I appreciate that they immediately made their change. You know, they had cited a county ordinance that they thought required them to engage in this behavior to, you know, accommodate some sort of civil rights requirement. Their reading was incorrect, and even if that code was on the books, I believe the state law preempts. We've got state civil rights and consumer protection laws to ensure, and that's the duty of my job, my office, to make sure that we are protecting our citizens, especially women and children in places like this where they could be vulnerable. So we hope other businesses pay attention and follow suit.
Attorney General Uthmeyer with us from Florida here on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Was that the only instance that you've heard of, or are there some other, you know, is this an issue in other places in the state?
This is the only instance we're aware of at the moment, thankfully. But our website, if you send us a tip or a complaint, you better believe my office is going to act on it right away. That's the way we do business. So if you hear of anything else out there, please let us know. But for now, that's the only example.
I know that some LGBT groups, they're not happy with you. TV station WTV reporting on the one group that basically accuses you of treating these trans folks like predators and saying that such policies actually put transgender people in danger. How do you respond to that?
My job is to protect people and keep them safe. And around the country, we've seen multiple examples where men, biological men, have gone into girls' restrooms and committed sexual assaults and other forms of violence. So I don't believe we as state leaders need to bend down and cater to the whims of a select few people that may be confused or suffering from something. I feel for them. I pray for them. I have empathy for them. But I am going to protect our citizens. And women and girls deserve to be safe. We can't let them be subjected to some sort of violence or sexual assault. It can never get that far. So we're going to nip it in the bud and stop these radical policies right at the get-go.
Mr. Attorney General, I know there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about an investigation over Hope, Florida. Governor DeSantis saying there's no basis for investigating Hope, Florida. Where did things stand with all of that? Any intel?
Sure, yeah. You know, when you sign up for these jobs, unfortunately, you sign up for the political attacks and spun narratives that are out there. The governor and our state leaders, we worked very hard last election cycle to defeat some dangerous amendments to our Constitution, and one of them was a recreational marijuana amendment that would have allowed unrestricted recreational marijuana use everywhere in public, not just in the privacy of your home. Parks, theaters, theme parks, restaurants, you name it. We fought that fight. The voters overwhelmingly rejected that amendment. But you had some big marijuana corporations out there, some private interests that spent $150 million to get that on the ballot because they would have made billions, and they're not very happy about it. So they're working with a lot of the legislators that they financially contribute to, and the Democrat Party, the chairwoman of the Democrat Party in Florida came out swinging here, trying to spin a narrative and, you know, launch a sham investigation, but it's not going to go anywhere. We fought, we were creative, and we beat the left, and we're not going to apologize for it.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, Mr. Attorney General, we know you're a busy man, and we appreciate you coming on the show today. Keep up the great work. You know, you're taking the heat, which means you're right over the target, sir.
That's what I've learned, yep, but I'm not going to back down. We, as conservatives, we need to just keep speaking truth. We got to fight the good fight day in and day out and never back down.
Yeah, good for you. All right, Mr. Attorney General, James Uthmeyer from the great state of Florida. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. See you later.
All right. Geez, Lou, was it a couple of days ago? I introduced a guy running for governor in Kansas as the governor of Arkansas. I think I may need a vacation. All right. Those are, by the way, Dylan, those are my two mistakes I get to make for the entire year. I normally make, on average, about two mistakes.
So you only get two strikes instead of three?
Only two. Okay. That's right. Our audience demands better. They demand excellence.
Perfection.
Every day. By the way, nice haircut.
Thank you.
You got the ears lowered.
What did you say I looked like?
I said you look like a Republican.
I don't know what that means, but I'll take it as a compliment.
Take it as a compliment. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's start the day in Houston, Texas. Mike is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hello. Say, I just want to ask you a question. Maybe I'm off base on this. But shouldn't the bill, the big, beautiful bill, have been written exactly the way President Trump wanted it, and then it's Mike Johnson's job to get it through the House and John Thune's job to get it through the Senate? I mean, that's the way Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer did everything. I mean, they arm twisted, they threatened, they did whatever it took to accomplish their goal.
Yes. The answer is yes, Mike. I think, but within the reality of the Republican world right now, I just don't think they can do that.
Well, as far as, you know, in other words, by any means necessary, they're not willing to go that far.
Is there something in the big beautiful bill that you're disappointed in, or something that you wanted to see that is not there?
Well, no, I mean, it just depends. You listen to six different people talk about the bill, and there's six different versions of why it's right and why it's not right. I mean, without actually reading the bill, I'm just saying it doesn't sound like to me the cuts and so forth went as far. Like Chip Roy, you know, his perspective on it is it didn't go far enough. And then somebody else's perspective is this is the best we can do now. Let's get this through, and then we'll come back later for the rest. The problem is there might not be a later to come to. I mean, it could be, you know, it's now or never the way I see it. $36 going on $37 trillion in debt with the world in an upheaval the way it is.
Mike, I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree with anything you said. You know, my concern with Chip Roy and, you know, Thomas Massie and some of the other guys is that, you know, you're going to have to compromise. And it's and Chip Roy says, my way or the highway. So here's, let's just turn this around here. What happens if Chip Roy is president and he wants something, but the Congress says, no, it's our way or the highway. So somebody's always going to have to compromise. I mean, that's just the way it is. We can't just say, well, just because Thomas Massie or Chip Roy don't want something, we have to just immediately kill everything. So granted, Chip Roy didn't get everything he wanted. And don't get me wrong here. Chip Roy is right. He's right to be upset. You know, a lot of these things were promised to us as voters. But the reality is, Mike, that they had to compromise to get this thing through. And somebody made the decision, and it was the president of the United States who said, you know what, I'd rather get 80% of it. I'd rather get 80 or 85% of my agenda in this big, beautiful bill as opposed to nothing at all.
Well, I agree, but are we going to come back for the remaining 20%? Yeah, that's my concern.
Yeah, that is a very valid concern. I'll say this, Mike, if we don't, and we have to, but if we don't, we lose the midterms. It's really that simple.
That's what I'm scared about.
Yeah, and that is something that I think we should all be scared about, because we've got to hold them accountable. And here's the other thing, Mike. A lot of the stuff that DOGE is finding was not defunded in this one big, beautiful bill. So we're going to have to circle back and we're going to have to defund all of that stuff. Otherwise, this has all been a show. It's all been political theater. So we've got to get back to the business at hand. We've got to start codifying all of President Trump's executive orders. That's not covered in the big, beautiful bill. And I would like to see them, Mike. They've been working, 18 hours straight? I'd like to see them do that to move through President Trump's executive orders.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Mike, thank you. You're a wise man and a smart guy, and you got to look at everything here, folks. Everything. While it's like robbing Peter to pay Paul. Let's go to John in Jackson, Tennessee, listening to us on WTJS. Hi, John, what's on your mind?
Todd, I really appreciate your show. And I want to say, I hope President Trump hears this. I was really disappointed when we old people got thrown under the bus over the Social Security tax exemption. Me and my wife, I'm 75, she's 73. We're both in bad health. We work part-time. We both do hard work. And we were really looking forward to that. We prayed for President Trump. We voted for him. And I just feel like that the old people really got to, I mean, the small businesses came out good, the farmers came out good, but what about us? We're the biggest reason he's where he is, all of us older folks.
Now, I want to make sure I understand this, John, and I hear your frustration. So instead of eliminating a tax on Social Security benefits, which was initially proposed when Trump was out on the campaign trail, that's what he proposed. He said, we're going to eliminate taxes on Social Security benefits. The one big, beautiful bill introduces a temporary, what they're calling an enhanced standard reduction for seniors, which was, about $4,000, I believe. So, again, the promise was eliminating the tax on Social Security benefits.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's the way I understood it. And I'm just disappointed that it didn't happen.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, John. And the question is, and this, it's a gamble. This is all a gamble. We had Thomas Massie on my Newsmax TV show a few days ago. And the reality is, if senior citizens like yourself are so upset over this that they stay home in the midterms, Republicans lose.
I didn't say that.
No, but what I'm saying, it's a gamble, though, John, because you're disappointed right now, which would tell, and I guarantee you there are a lot of other people that are just as disappointed, and that may turn into, you know what, I really don't feel like going out and voting today.
Well, I hope not. People shouldn't be like that. We still got to press on. Just because just like kids playing football, just because you don't get the call you want, you don't walk off and quit.
And
I'm not saying that nobody should do that. We're in a struggle in this country, and we got to do what we do. And some of us, I guess, are going to have to sacrifice. But I just wish that the President Trump and the Republicans would have taken care of us in that. I just feel like they should have done it anyway, you know.
Well,
I don't think nobody should vote. I don't believe in that kind of stuff.
Well, I don't either. I don't either, John. But, again, I hear you, and that is one of the downsides to all of this. So, look, do I believe that President Trump is going to take care of the seniors at the end of the day? I do. I really do. But right now, we had to get the foundation built, and it was ugly. I mean, they're calling it beautiful, but a lot of it was ugly. But we got the foundation through. We got to get it through the Senate, and let's see what happens next. John, I got to run. We're late for a break. Thank you. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Can I tell you about my good buddy, Mike Lindell? You know, he's got a passion to help everybody get the best sleep of your life. I slept like a log yesterday, but he didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the best bed sheets ever. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial to my busy schedule. And Mike is now offering, get this, for the next couple of days, the best deal on his Giza Dream bed sheets. Any size, any color, just $49.98. You can get kings, queens, split kings, cow kings, any size, any color, just $49.98. You got to order now because when they're gone, they are gone. And they're going to go quickly. Also, for a limited time, get this, when your merch order is over $100, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. So call right now, 1-800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS or go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code STARNS for that amazing offer, $49.98 on the Giza Dream Sheets, any size, any color. The number again, 1-800-839-8506, promo code STARNS. Big scandal brewing in St. Louis. We're going to tell you about it coming up in the next hour. The person in charge of pushing the button for the tornado warning sirens forgot to do it. Not good. Not good. All right, let's and the person may be a diversity hire. That's even crazier. All right, let's go to Selmer, Tennessee. Danny, listening to us on the great KWAM today. Hi, Danny. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, sir. Well, just barely morning. I had two comments on two things. It's kind of about human behavior. And first thing is, I thought that we could all agree that, like myself, I believe there's too much turmoil and hate in the world, and there must be a better way. I think we can all agree on that. What do you think?
Yeah, I do not disagree, no, Danny. Yes.
No matter who you are, what side you take, whether you're alphabet people or any Semitic, Jew, whoever you are, I think there's too much turmoil and hate in the world. So this is my first comment. There was when I saw a post about the young couple that was murdered last night and the Palestine comment by the suspect that they took into custody, there's quite a few comments going on about that. I just posted, I tire of all the hate and turmoil in the world. There must be a better way. And believe it or not, this is give you an idea how people act. There's people instantly, first comments I got, these people must walk around with a chip on their shoulder or something ready to get knocked off. They started saying, do you realize that Palestine's been suffering for 75 years, and do you realize that? And another comment was, do you realize that Israel is just expanding and stealing from everyone and so on and so forth? It was horrible. Just all
well,
the hate.
Danny, let me say this. It is a terrible, terrible thing, but the blame here is not Israel, and it's not the United States. You got to put the blame right where it is, and that's on Hamas. Got to run, folks. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Have you guys ever seen this? There's a TV show. I cannot say I've watched it regularly. I've seen clips here and there. It's called Antiques Roadshow. It's on public welfare broadcasting. Here's what I never could understand. You know, why don't they just use the proceeds from those shows to pay their own bills? Why do they? It's a fine enough show, right? It's and correct me if I'm wrong here, but the premise of the show is you have these gatherings and people bring their crap from home. And then they have grandma's dresser drawers, and they bring them and they think that they may be worth, you know, billions of dollars. And it turns out that grandma got it from Walmart back in the day. And I think that's the shtick of it. And then every now and again, you'll have somebody with some sort of an artifact and they come and they think it's worthless. And it turns out to be worth millions of dollars. And then that's the whole shtick of the show there. And it's interesting. I enjoy it, you know, and especially when they're, you know, the historians are giving the history of the, you know, whatever the artifact is. And I'm always intrigued by that. But I will say this, and if any of you have ever been, I would love to hear from somebody who's actually been like in person to one of these things. It looks like a lot of fun. They basically go on the road and they have these antique road shows and they're basically telling you how much your grandma's necklace is worth. So anyway, the other day, and this video is circulating around social media, a woman showed up and the thing is, a good many of the people that show up at these things are liberals, and you can tell. They sort of ooze. They have that liberal vibe. You know what I'm talking about? You can just sort of tell where they're coming from. And a lot of times it's based on the questions. So this woman shows up and it was very clear she's a liberal, and she has this artifact from that she has in the family. And she apparently comes from a Southern family that owned slaves back in the day. All right. And so she's just oozing self-righteousness, here. And I want you to hear how it went down when she presented the artifact that had been in the family's history for generations, going all the way back to the slave days. This bracelet, take a listen.
What do you think this is?
I think that it's a slave bracelet. I would like to think that my relatives helped to free the slaves, and that was one of the ones that they freed, or maybe they found. I think that this is the name of the slave holder and then the name of the slave underneath it.
It's a dog collar.
Just crushed her little liberal spirit. We don't have the rest of it. She should have asked, it may have been a black dog. Maybe. No, ma'am, it's. You gotta love it. Can we play that one more time?
What do you think this is?
I think that it's a slave bracelet. I would like to think that my relatives helped to free the slaves, and that was one of the ones that they freed, or maybe they found. I think that this is the name of the slave holder and then the name of the slave underneath it.
It's a dog collar.
I'm sorry. Can we just spend the next hour of the show just playing that over and over again? So here's the deal. It turns out the lady said she got it from her mother, and the grandmother's mother's father had two brothers who were in the Union Army. So they were on the other side of the War of Northern Aggression. She says they fought for U.S. Grant when the National Guard was created, and they went into Vicksburg and they took over a family mansion. And the lady detailed in great detail how the military lived at the plantation or the mansion, and that the U.S. Grant promised the family that their home would be returned to them when their military time was finished, but then it was burned down. The guest went on to say, somehow my relatives came home with this bracelet and it's been in my family's possession ever since that time. So she thought it was. But when you look at it, I mean, that would have to be a very tiny little person, right? I mean, it's not that large. So there you go. It's a, and it was just so blunt. It's a dog collar. Oh, you know what the name of the dog was? Wallace. Wallace the dog. That's a good name for a dog. All right, there you go. She said, are you serious? Are you serious? You got to love it. All right, there you go. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I'm just curious, ladies of America, have you noticed a trend that's developing where the men are starting to wear tighter pants and some of them are hauling around purses, which they call merces, which is a man purse, right? So anyway, apparently this is like a growing fashion trend. We have not seen that trend here on this program, but I'm being told that it's out there as, you know, again, we're dealing with this feminization of men across America. So anyway, a pastor the other day was really upset about this and took his congregation. He was actually visiting another congregation and took them to task. I guess there were some men in the sanctuary and their pants were a little bit too snug. Now let's hear what the pastor had to say.
Well, nobody wants to talk about it. But I'm trying to tell you something is wrong. I told the men in my church, I want you to stop shopping at Baby Gap. Those pants are too small. You look like a little boy. I need you to get something that tells me you want a woman. Now, all this, y'all are mad. I'm gonna preach. You ain't got to invite me back. I got my own church. Well, this is a male purse. No, that is a woman's pocketbook. And I want to know why you have a pocketbook. Because my mother had one, but my daddy never carried a pocketbook. Men of God, talk back to me. What man wants to carry a pocketbook?
Well, you have to. Where else are you going to put your guyliner? I mean, so is this true, Dylan? Are guys your age, and this is like a Gen Z issue now, are guys your age shopping at Baby Gap? Is that where they're getting a little tiny clothes?
I haven't been in a Baby Gap recently, so I'll have to check back in on you.
I'm not going to name names, but this is a big problem in the worship bands of America.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, you've got guys up there, and first of all, they shouldn't be wearing clothing that form-fitting in front of God or anybody else for that matter. But my concern is that there are weight requirements, right? So if you're wearing, like, for example, skinny jeans, I don't even know if skinny jeans are. They're really not even skinny jeans. Are they skinny jeans? I don't know what they call them.
I mean, technically, they're skinny jeans.
All right, so here's the problem. There are weight limitations. And the problem is they're only able to get the pants up so high, and then everything sort of like blobs over. Kind of like, have you ever seen a bran muffin? Not like not the ones you make at home, but the ones you go to, say, you know, I was at JoJo's Espresso Coffee Shop.
Great place.
Beautiful. Oh, amazing food. And they had these giant muffins, right? But the muffin tops are just so massive, they just sort of pour out over the sides. Mm. That's what these worship leaders look like when they're wearing this stuff.
It's a good visual.
You know, it's the muffin man,
sleeves,
mommy.
Sleeves are too tight on those muffins.
My favorite was the woman who showed up. This was years ago. A woman showed up on the worship band for Sunday, Easter Sunday service, and she was wearing a see-through outfit. So you could see her. Fortunately, she was wearing her underpants, but nobody wants to see that. God doesn't want to see your underpants.
Amen.
It got to the point where I could not sing of his love forever. I was trying to shield my eyes. Nobody wants to see that. So anyway, the pastor there calling out the men of the church. You know, here's the thing. What happens if you're one of the guys in the congregation and you're wearing those pants? I mean, how do you just casually get out of the church at that point? That's, I'd be very curious to know. I will say this, and I don't mean to paint with a broad brush, but I have noticed that most of the guys wearing the tight pants are the tenors and in the church choir, and I think that may be necessary for them to hit the high notes. Like the bass players, they can't get their big toes in the skinny jeans. Again, I'm not painting with a broad brush here at all. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, I've got to talk about Pete Hegseth for just a moment. So our Secretary of Defense, he was holding he's announced that they're holding a monthly worship service at the Pentagon. Now, it's voluntary, so you're not required to come. But anyway, they held the first one this week. And Pete Hegseth is catching holy you-know-what. And people are saying that it's inappropriate and that we should not be having these worship services at the Pentagon. So anyway, Hegseth delivered a prayer. I think he invited his pastor, who happens to be from Tennessee, to come and speak. But Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, actually led the audience in prayer. It was really amazing. And it was not a very long prayer, but he starts off praying in the name of King Jesus. And that set off the atheist. Also set off the New York Times. We had the story and the video, and I want you to go to ToddStearns.com. Go to ToddStearns.com right now. Watch the video for yourself, and you can see what Hegseth said. You can watch him pray, and you can tell me if you think this guy is anywhere out of line. But the New York Times described the service as part of an increasing infusion of overt Christian evangelization in governmental events during Mr. Trump's second term. In other words, the Times thinks this is a really bad thing that's happening, that religion has no place within the federal government, and that's their argument. So the Freedom From Religion Foundation, that's the gang of anti-Christian atheists from Wisconsin, they said that the worship service actually broke the law. And they're also saying that it sends a bad message. It sends the message that that Christianity is the preferred faith at the Pentagon. And I want to stop here for just a moment. Why is that a bad thing? I don't understand. I have no problem with the fact that Christianity is the preferred faith at the Pentagon. And here's why I say that. Because when you're in a foxhole in battle and you're taking incoming fire, you're not praying to the Wisconsin atheist. You're praying to Jesus, right? I mean, that's what you're doing. So anyway, I think, look, Pete Hegseth is going to keep on praying, and I've got no problem with this. As a matter of fact, I would welcome others to do the same. And I do believe that God and the Bible should be our North Star as we are moving this country further and further away from the throes of socialism and Marxism. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. You heard me mention Patriot Mobile. Man, do they have some wonderful, wonderful products for the listeners of the Todd Stearns Show, exclusively, by the way. PatriotMobile.com/Todd Stearns. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Again, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Here's what you're going to find on that website. You're going to find information about their mini cell phone coverage plans, and they've got something to fit every budget. They have great discounts for first responders and our military veterans. And get this, use my promo code. They're going to give you free activation. A lot of people say, Todd, if I go to Patriot Mobile, will I be able to keep my phone? Yes, you will, or you can buy a new one. It's up to you. You can also keep your number. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They have been a longtime sponsor and partner of the Todd Stearns Show. We love these guys. Again, PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or you can call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. All right, our friends over in St. Louis, we have a lot of listeners out in St. Louis on Real Talk Radio, and they carry our show later in the day. They don't carry it live clear. They carry it later in the evening hours. And they were just devastated by tornadoes and just all sorts of damage, and it's going to take them a little while to get through all of that and to recover. So anyway, there were also a lot of deaths, and that is a little unusual these days, especially with all of the emergency alert broadcast and the sirens and all of those things. So as soon as warnings are issued, they will sound the alarms. As a matter of fact, every day in Memphis, for example, in Memphis, Tennessee, we have a lot of bad weather, and every Wednesday they will sound the tornado sirens. So it's not all that unusual, and they test them. They want to make sure everything is up and working in the event you've got to sound the alarms. So it turns out that the tornado sirens did not sound in St. Louis. I think over at least five people died. And so there's a bit of a scandal because there is an individual who is the commissioner of emergency management there. This person's name is Sarah Russell. And I'm going to be very careful here because if you've seen the photos of Sarah Russell, well, let's just say I have some questions. And I will say that I don't know if Sarah is a Mr. or a Miss. Sarah Russell is being identified in many publications as a they, them. And so we don't know here. We do try to be respectful, if at all possible, to the ambiguous pronouns, I think is a good way to describe it. Anyway, Sarah Russell was promoted to the Commissioner of Emergency Management there in St. Louis in 2021. And the only job, she's only got one thing. When she gets a call from the National Weather Service and the voice on the other end says, there's a tornado coming. Or if you are in Mississippi and you get the call, there's a tornado coming. Guess what you have to do? You got to push the button. That's your one job. That's the only job you have, is to push the freaking button. So the sirens can sound and people can either get in their bathtub or they can get in their basement or they can get their cell phone and walk out of the front yard and turn on their video camera. But Sarah Russell failed to do her job. So anyway, she's been put on leave now. I mean, it's a huge investigation. The mayor suspended Sarah Russell it's just terrible. And no, I think she's a she. Dylan, I don't think she's a mister. I mean, could be a mister, but kind of ambiguous, kind of like that. And not that it really matters unless the ambiguous pronouns were why she, he, they, them, Caesar got the job in the first place. And if that's the case, well, that's a massive scandal. What happened to the good old-fashioned way? Hiring people who know how to push buttons. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. By the way, our telephone number, write this down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So I want to welcome into the studio our good friend and great Republican strategist, Luke Symbol. Luke, good to have you with us today.
Todd, thank you for having me.
Somebody told me, and I can't give out the details, I can't tell you who it is, but a well-known Republican lawmaker was seen walking out of the Capitol today with his briefcase and a pillow. And I hope it was a MyPillow, but we got the big, beautiful bill done.
You know, the House has really been working hard. I ran into our own Congressman David Kustoff in the airport on Monday. He was heading back to Washington, and this was following last week when the House Ways and Means Committee worked through the night, one or two nights last week, to get this big, beautiful bill passed out of committee. And I want to thank, you know, we hold our elected folks accountable when needed, and we can give them a little bit of credit when it's due. And thank you to the House for working so hard on this bill, to getting it passed. It is now on the Senate, and Senate Republicans, we expect you to work even harder to get the big, beautiful bill passed.
That's it. And we've got to get it through. And I get it. there are a lot of people unhappy. I'm unhappy about some of the stuff in there. But overall, you got to get it through. This is what Trump wants. This is what he gets.
Major tax cuts, funding, border wall and border security, no tax on tips, slashing taxes for those on Social Security. This is really important stuff, and I am excited that it's been passed. And, you know, we want our Republicans working hard, so thank you to the House for getting it passed. When I saw Congressman Kustoff, he had been working through the night, and his staff were in that committee room all night long. And so we appreciate it, and Senate, we expect you to do the same.
I'm curious, as we move forward now, because the midterms are quickly approaching, people are already starting to sort of figure out, okay, what are the issues? I know, for example, in Tennessee, crime has been such a big deal. The FBI coming in, Kash Patel saying that Memphis, Tennessee is the homicide capital of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you've got a lot of city leaders that are now pushing back on that assessment.
It's tone deaf. Here in Memphis, one of the most violent, we have the highest violent crime rate in the country, and we have local officials. The populace hears Kash Patel say, we're going to send an FBI task force. We are going to get this crime under control in Memphis, Tennessee. And these local Democrats are saying, oh, no, we, you know, just accept the help. The populace is excited. I was at work yesterday, and so many folks, Democrats, Republicans alike, saying this is great news, and why is our Soros-funded DA pushing back against it? Tone deaf.
No, it is tone deaf. But again, you wonder, okay, what's the end game here? I mean, if you're not going to stand up and fight crime, and we understand that they made an announcement that they had arrested almost 100 people or over 100 people, but almost a third of those people are already back out on the streets. They were either set free without bail or they were given low bail. So I'm wondering, what's the point of all of this?
That is the reality of living in a community that is run by a Soros-funded DA. We are seeing across the country people pushing back on these soft-on-crime DAs that would rather prosecute based on race than based on crime. And I am excited for the future. I think Republicans, Todd, really have momentum right now. I can feel it. The Democrats are still confused as to what they want to focus on. Republicans are saying, look, we care. We want to put money back in your pocket. We want to get crime under control in your communities. And we've just got to keep pushing that message as Republicans.
On that point, there was a report out a couple of days ago that it seems as though people are beginning to coalesce around the idea that AOC is the de facto leader of the party. Even James Carville, who said we've got to push back against AOC, now it appears that he's having to embrace her as well. What's going on over there?
Look, they want to continue to focus on these identity issues, you know, whether what color you are, what gender you think you are, who you happen to sleep with. I still think that their messaging is lost, and the Republican Party has such an opportunity here. AOC has put a lot of stuff on social media, and all we have to do is play it for the country. And I think we all know how the average American feels about that crap.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 1,000% there. Speaking of crap, Megyn Kelly and Jake Tapper. Jeez, Alou, did he really think? I mean, did he think people were going to feel sorry for him or, you know, feel empathy toward the guy?
And, you know, I do give him credit for going on. He and Megyn Kelly are personal friends. They don't agree on much. He knew he was going to get tough questions. So I give him credit for that. But I don't think he's adequately explained that he is saying he did not carry water for Biden and the affirmities.
Oh, that's bull.
It's bull. And I am, you know, we all know, and I appreciate the fact that he's finally come around to holding the Biden administration accountable after Biden, that administration lost and Biden dropped out of the race and Kamala lost. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But we all know when we saw that debate, suddenly, like, some Democrats were like, oh, wait, maybe we can make some money writing a book about it.
Too late. Yeah. It is too late. And look, here's the thing, though. He's out there saying that, well, I called Laura Trump to apologize. You know what, dude? You embarrassed her on national television. You bring her back on national television and you apologize in front of the country.
That's exactly right. CNN, every single show, you should be talking about this. You should be apologizing for gaslighting the American people. Every single major news organization can apologize for the conservative media had this right. The conservative media was talking about this so that the American people knew. But you don't get to give yourself awards at the White House Correspondents' Dinner and then say, oh, we made a little mistake. It was a purposeful attempt to gaslight the American public.
Or Pulitzer Prizes. They're
exactly
not returning
right.
any of them. It's shameful. I wrote this last night on X. I said, what's telling is that Jake Tapper never thought once to apologize to the American people or the handful of people still watching CNN because he deceived them. He deceived them. He was part of the deception. I mean, if you're to believe some of the reports coming out now from Biden insiders that Jake Tapper himself was an insider and, you know, all of this remorse is about as authentic as Jill Biden's affection for her husband.
Well, and that's what's interesting about conservative media, too, is we have so many different people on conservative media, differences of opinion. Republicans argue about issues. They don't agree on everything. And yet CNN will still not have these conservative journalists on that have been carrying the Biden story and the affirmities for years, since 2020, 2021, 2022, they still won't have these conservative journalists on.
What I find fascinating, Laura Loomer is a longtime friend of mine.
I didn't know that.
I've known her for years. As a matter of fact, I was the first person to interview her. There was an incident at Central Park during a Shakespeare production, and where Jack Posobiec and Laura, who were complete unknowns at the time, stormed the stage, you know, and did that's when they were pretending that Caesar was Donald Trump.
Sure.
And they were stabbing, you know, Donald Trump. And so anyway, it was a fun story. She's a polarizing character.
Sure.
I think you have to say. The reality though is every single thing that she writes about turns out to be true.
It's really amazing. Sometimes I read her posts on X and I think, surely not. And then 3 weeks later, she's right. So now I just have to, read her things with the assumption, you know, she's usually correct. I didn't know that you had had her on so early. That's really interesting.
Oh, we have some breaking news here. We don't need to sound, you know what? We pay for the sounder. May as well use it.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
All right. This coming in from Ilhan Omar. Luke, we'll get your reaction to this. Finally, she weighed in on the Capitol Jewish Museum. You know, they caught her. The Fox cameras caught her and said, you know, do you want to condemn this? No, I'm not going to condemn it. Do you want to offer condolences to the dead Jews? No, not going to do that. And then she got in her car. Now she says, I am appalled by the deadly shooting at the Capitol Jewish Museum last night, holding the victims, their families, and loved ones in my thoughts and prayers. I don't think she is holding them in her prayers.
Or even her thoughts. Her thoughts are so nasty. She usually says her thoughts about how she feels about Jews. It's just so unfortunate.
Yeah. I think there is a great danger that's in this country lurking, and I think everybody has to be on edge. I mean, the idea that you were going to go and attack an event for young professional Jews.
Exhibit A of why we do not need mass migration from the third world.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, she couldn't get elected but for it.
Well, that's true. And now, you know, and again, if you hate America so much, go back to where you came from,
lady. Why are you participating in our system, being in Congress, if it's such a terrible system, Omar? That's my question to you.
It's a great point. And again, Mark Levin is right about this. He says, you know, what they're doing, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, they are setting the table for more violence against Jews in this country.
You're right. And it's so sad. You go on these college campuses, people are literally afraid for their lives walking across campus from building to building because of the radical anti-Semitism on our campuses today.
I'm curious because you've been very involved in Young Republicans, and I know in the Memphis area, you guys have seen explosive growth in just younger people,
it's amazing,
young professionals wanting to join the party. What's leading the charge there?
I think it's just how irrational the left has become, and it's really today it's almost become cool to be a Republican and conservative. It was never like that, Todd. When I was in college, it was not like
almost
that.
Counterculture,
I guess. That's exactly right. It's countercultural. You see the unique ideas coming out of the right on the college campuses now. And young Republicans here locally just had an event earlier this week. The place was packed, absolutely packed. It's encouraging. We're seeing a lot more young women and attractive young women coming out. You know, back in the day when I was in college, it was a bunch of dudes, and there were you were just trying to get some women there. Now it's a lot of attractive young women who are fired up to be conservative. It's great.
It's not the high school AV club. No offense to the high school AV club. I was a member back in the day. But yeah, no, I hear exactly what you're saying. Oh, by the way, we have more breaking news.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
All right, so it is confirmed now. There's going to be a massive U.S. military parade on June 14th for the Army's 250th anniversary. And the president is going to honor our military on June 14th. He'll be joined by veterans, active duty troops, wounded warriors, Gold Star families. This is all coming out of the White House press briefing from Caroline Levitt. So, again, this is sort of exciting. And, of course, you know the media twists this. It's also mm-hmm. President Trump's birthday. He's demanding the military march and salute him on their okay, what?
Oh, I love it. And now we're going to see all the liberals come out and denounce the military because Trump decided to have a parade. It's brilliant on Trump's part.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. All right, Luke Symbol, always good having you
good
drop
to see
by.
You, Todd.
All
thank
right.
you.
Folks, hang tight. We're going to go to your calls as well. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. I'm looking forward to that parade. It's always fun to see our military, and it's always good for our fighting men and women to know that we've got their backs. And it would be wonderful on this 250th birthday anniversary. We have a couple of million people lining the streets of Washington, D.C., supporting our great men and women in uniform. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Gary in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hi, Gary. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. Two quick comments and hear your take on it. The Sarah person, the EMS person, I think that she's the victim here because she got promoted to a level of incompetence. So, you know, she turned out to be, she got a promotion and she's incompetent, and, or they, I should say, they are incompetent. And that's what happened to poor old Sarah.
Well, and again, talking about, for those of you who missed that segment, we're talking about the head of emergency management in St. Louis, Sarah Russell, who apparently forgot to hit the button to turn on the sirens. Five people died. Thousands of people were impacted. And now she's on leave as they're beginning the investigation. We understand now, though, that the fire department now is officially back in charge of pushing the button for tornado warning. So there you go. It's a fair point. Great assessment there, Gary. What else you got for us?
The other thing is, even though Judge Jeanine has now been appointed and would be overseeing that case with the Rodriguez murder in Washington, D.C., I sure hope that the feds take over the case as a hate crime. And because what's coming next is that character is going to be like Luigi, and different people will be fundraising for him and GoFundMe, and they'll have rallies in his honor. I no doubt that he's a folk hero here for murdering those two embassy people. So I'm hoping the feds take over the case. And I also hope that this helps with the Khalil case. They were in Louisiana today. He had a hearing. The agitator protester college student that Rubio scooped up. And I'm hoping that this hurts his case on staying in America and they get him tossed out quicker.
Well, you know, that, and we're going to touch on that case. There was an incident at Columbia University, and we'll touch on that in the next hour. You know, that is an interesting take on this, Gary. And I can see where that could happen, where you could get the Mangione effect here. Elias Rodriguez is the 31-year-old now who admits to killing the two Jewish diplomats outside of the museum last night. And this guy, it was strange. I mean, the whole thing is strange. But after the shooting, he walks in and everybody thought that he was actually a victim as well. And they were giving the guy water, trying to take care of him. He says, call the police, the police get there. And he hauls out his, Muslim scarf and then starts shouting, free, free Palestine.
Correct.
So this is, Gary, I'll give you 30 seconds, then I got to go.
Yep. No, I'm going to check the website. Post any dates when you're going to do any book signings, or you're going to be traveling around. I'll see if I can make one of them.
All right. Well, Gary, thank you for that, and thank you for calling in. But again, Pam Bondi out there saying, you know what, the Jewish community, they got to feel safe. Cut 13.
This hate speech has got to stop. We have to come together as not only a community here, but as a nation and as the world. And you being from Germany, you see that. We have to keep everyone safe. And that is the job right now of the Metropolitan Police, Mayor Bowser, Janine Pirro. We were all out here all night long. Everyone is working together as a team. FBI, ATF, our U.S. Marshals are out here trying to protect everyone. But our Jewish community must feel safe. What we saw last night was disgusting. I saw a young man's body being taken away who was about to get engaged. He had an entire life in front of him, and that was taken away. The hate has got to stop, and it has to stop now. And this person will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. You all have to understand, I can't talk about the facts. I can't talk about anything else now. They are working tirelessly to make sure this investigation goes proper. It is. Everyone is working together, and that's what's going to happen now.
All right. Sooner or later, we're going to have to hold Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar responsible for fomenting this violence and this Jew hatred in this country. And there are a lot of others up on Capitol Hill as well. Hang tight, everybody. We've got to take a quick break here. We will be right back. Hour three of the big show. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, very excited as we're just, we're getting very close to our big book launch, and there is a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of buzz starting to develop over the brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And you're going to love this book. I had a lot of fun writing this book, and there's a lot of humor in the book and also a lot of great history about our nation and the reason why we believe that God has blessed America. And we talk about that in Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And I want to encourage you to get yourself a copy. You can go to our website, toddstearns.com. Go to your favorite bookstore. You can order online. The book will be in bookstores across the nation on June the 17th. And we got word that Walmart has picked up the book. Target has picked up the book. Costco stopped selling books. And I really hate that they did that. But Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, so all of the major places where you normally get your books, you're going to be able to get a copy of Star Spangled Blessings. Also, for those of you who might live in and around the Memphis area, we're throwing a big book launch party, and we would love for you to come and join us. If you would like information on that, and if you would like an invitation to join us at the Shindig, then I want to encourage you to give us a call right now. Miss Cassie will get your information. It's free of charge. We're going to have great food, great entertainment, live music, and we'll be signing copies. So all of you who attend the party are going to be able to get an advance or purchase an advance copy of the new book. So give us a call if you would like information on attending, and Miss Cassie will get your information. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Well, we've been following this crazy story out of Washington, D.C., this attack on these young Jewish professionals where you had a pro-Hamas terrorist from Chicago shoot and kill these people in cold blood. He was then detained, and I want you to hear, this is the, you're going to hear the voice of the gunman there at the Capitol Jewish Museum. Cut six, please.
No, no, no.
I mean, that's just terrifying. And there, but for God's grace, more people were not shot. I mean, that could have been a slaughter. Folks, I just want to say something here. We need to be doing a better job of making sure that we are protecting ourselves. And I'm just telling you right now, we are living in a dangerous nation. I mean, we live in a violent country. And you can have that debate over why we're a violent country. But I'm telling you, it is a violent country out there, and you've got to make sure that you've got a plan to protect yourself and to protect your loved ones wherever you are, because you can't take anything for granted. Again, this happened in Washington, D.C. As a matter of fact, if we could, I want to play cut number seven, please. Cut number seven.
You know, I did see somebody run in. The security guard happened to let this guy in. I guess they were thinking that he was a victim. And he was covered in rain. He was clearly in trauma. He was in shock. And, you know, some of the people at the event brought him water. They sat him down. Are you okay? Were you shot? What happened? He's like, somebody call the cops, bring the cops in. So about 10 minutes later, when the cops actually came in, he said, I did this. He said, sir, I'm unarmed. He put his hands up. He grabbed a red kufi out of his pocket and started the Free Palestine chants. You know, there's only one solution, Intifada Revolution. And he was being dragged out of the building as he was yelling Free Palestine. And he kept yelling Free Palestine. I, you know, tried to hand him his kufi back because I didn't really realize that he murdered two people. About 5-10 minutes later, we start to gather more data. It turns out he was in the building with us for like 15 minutes. Thank God he left the gun in the bushes outside, or he left the gun outside. And we found out that I think it was two people from the embassy that were murdered in cold blood. And obviously this is a secondary source, but my friend was actually watching the security footage, and he murdered somebody, executed them from the back, 5-10 shots.
Just horrifying. And just a terrible thing. So anyway, the FBI says it's too soon to say if this was a hate crime or if it was terrorism. What is going on? What is going on in the Federal Bureau of Investigation right now? What kind of nonsense stuff is this coming out? I just don't get it. I don't know what Kash Patel is up to. But again, the idea that they don't know yet, the guy was screaming Free, Free Palestine. He was clearly making a political statement, ladies and gentlemen. So I don't get it. I don't know what's going on over there. You had Kash Patel and Bongino. And can we go back to that interview they did with Maria Bartiromo on Fox on Sunday? Is it just me? Those guys were up there and they were saying, I mean, for years, they were like, we're going to drop the hammer. We're going to come out and we're going to expose all of this. There's no way that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. And now all of a sudden, they're changing their tune. And you heard him say that there's that there was no conspiracy, that the Trump assassination, the Trump shooter in Butler County acted on his own. They're not giving us any more information about that. They're telling us Epstein really did kill himself. They're not giving us any more info on that. And now they're coming out and making this wild statement about what we all saw with our own eyes. We heard with our ears. We know what that was all about last night, but now you've got the folks over at the Trump FBI, and they're saying, well, it's just, you know, we got to investigate. Okay, yeah, go ahead and investigate. But you're going to stand up there and tell me that that wasn't an act of terrorism? You're going to tell me that this isn't a hate crime? You're telling me that it's just unbelievable. So anyway, going back to the Bartiromo, is it just me or did those guys look like they were in a hostage video? I mean, they looked very uncomfortable. The eyes were shifting back and forth. They were very hesitant with some of their aunt. It was all very weird. And you wonder what's going on. I mean, have they been spoken to? Are there things going on that are they're being threatened? Maybe their families are being threatened. Is there something going on there? Because we know the deep state is deep and they are ruthless. I'm just wondering at this point. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, we have been celebrating the news for quite some time. Newsmax has gone public on the New York Stock Exchange, and they're listed on the big board, and millions of people, and I hear from so many of you, have joined our news revolution. Reuters says Newsmax is one of the top 12 news brands in America. President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. 40 million Americans now go to Newsmax, and the audience grew 50% since the same time last year. Millions really are making the switch to Newsmax. So if you want to be a part of the revolution, if you want to be a Newsmax share owner, call your advisor and get more info at NewsmaxInvest.com, and you can stand with Newsmax today for a strong America. All right, last night on Newsmax, our good friend Doug Collins, who is the new VA secretary, member of the Trump administration, coming under fire, it turns out that the president wanted to nominate Sam Brown. You might remember Sam. He was running for the U.S. Senate out of Nevada. Should have won that race. There were some shenanigans going down. Anyway, Sam is a decorated combat veteran, and he is a wounded warrior, an American hero, gravely injured fighting for our country. Anyway, he was nominated to oversee the veteran cemeteries, and two Democrat lawmakers are standing in the way of that happening. Two Democrat U.S. senators, Blumenthal and Gallegos. It is unacceptable. So anyway, we had the secretary on last night, and here's a little bit of that combo. Joining me now is Doug Collins, secretary of that very department. Secretary Collins, good to have you with us on Newsmax. This is so aggravating, sir, and you have to be enraged at how they're treating this great American hero.
We are, Todd. It's good to see you. This is just a farce. It shows hypocrisy, to be honest, because for the last couple of times I've been in hearings, especially in front of the Senate, they wanted to talk about was what are we doing to the veterans, and we should be taking care of veterans. We should be hiring veterans. We can't fire veterans. But yet I've had three, including Sam Brown, who are before them right now waiting for a floor vote. And they've all said, we're going to stop them because we don't think you gave us enough answers on things that have not been decided yet. Look, I'm going to fight for this department. I'm going to fight for veterans, all veterans, not just the ones that seemingly the Democrats, Senator Blumenthal and Senator Gallego, have deemed not worthy enough to work here to help other veterans.
Do we know why? Is there anything in Mr. Brown's background? Why are they holding this guy up like that?
Pure politics. That's all it is. It's pure politics. We've set forth on a path to make sure that the VA is operating for the veteran, and we're looking at our force, make sure that we're structuring our force in the right way, and, you know, looking at the possibility that do we have enough people, or do we have people that maybe that could be used in other places or not used at the VA. And so they just don't like what we're doing, and they don't like that. I wish they'd have took this much time, especially Senator Blumenthal with Senator Tester in the last Congress. They took this much time to worry about the GAO for the last 10 years who told us that we were on a high-risk list for waste and abuse and patient quality and patient care. You know, they didn't seem to want to talk about it as much then except throw money and people at a problem. We're actually trying to fix the problems now, help our veterans, and this is the thanks we get. It just rings so hollow, and for every veteran looking at this, they need to see through this. I mean, we can have respectful different grievances, but I have three department head, Sam being one, who's going to take care of our mortuary affairs, the place where we take that final resting place of our veterans. And that is what he is going to be running, and he is going to be a part of a great organization. But yet they have decided, no, for petty politics, we're going to stop it. So don't let them ever tell you that they're for veterans. Well, let me rephrase that. They're only for veterans things that they like, not what this president likes.
Yeah, fair enough. It's just outrageous. Meanwhile, you are delivering on a promise. President Trump made a promise to veterans out on the campaign trail that you guys were going to overhaul the Department of Veterans Affairs. And I understand, Mr. Secretary, that you're opening up clinics all over the nation right now.
We are. We're opening up. I think we're up at 10 at this point that we've opened up since the beginning of the year. We've got more in. Some of these have been in the pipeline for a little while, but we're getting them open. We're doing what we said, and we're opening them up in a consistent way, in a phased-in way that makes sure that we're giving the veteran the treatment that they need, the care that they need, and for a long-term sustainability. And these are some nice facilities, Todd. These are worthy of our veterans, and they're making use of areas in which we've had limited contact. Some of them are in growing areas. Some of them are replacing. So these are the kind of things that we want to be a part of, and they're fulfilling the president's promise. And when he said we're going to take care of our veterans, and you know, again, this is the part that everybody is not looking at, is how we're taking care of our veterans, how we're using new technologies, new techniques, and also new facilities to make sure our veterans get the care they have earned.
Mr. Secretary, you mentioned that you wanted to place a premium on customer service. What can a veteran expect when they're going into one of these clinics for help?
What they can expect right now under my leadership, and we're going to continue to make this, getting it all the way down to the newest employee at the VA, is that the veteran is the reason that we exist. The VA exists for one purpose, and that is to serve the greatest people in the world, as our veterans. And the great part about it is our veterans get served by the greatest people in the world. That's the VA employee. And so we're going to make that just a something down the line that everybody understands. When you come, you're going to get quick, efficient care in the best way we possibly can, in the size of a healthcare system we have, because we forget that it's about the veteran and the benefit they've earned. We need to take out all of our problems on our side so that we can do what we need to do best, and they get the care that they deserve best. And that is a friendly attention to the details. Many of them are struggling in areas. We want them to make sure the VA is a welcoming place for everything that they would possibly need.
Well, you're doing a terrific job, Mr. Secretary, and on behalf of the American people, we appreciate you looking after our veterans. Thank you for coming on Newsmax.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
All right, good man right there, Doug Collins, and he is taking care of our veterans. And I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, we have a large audience. Many of you are veterans. You served and you utilize these VA medical centers. How has your experience been since President Trump took office? Are you beginning to see the changes that Secretary Collins just shared with us? We'd certainly like to hear from you on that. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Caroline Leavitt just tore an MSNBC news reporter at a new one. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this MSDNC reporter now has not one but two wazoos, courtesy of Caroline Leavitt. And this all goes back to this report that white farmers are being slaughtered. There's a genocide against white people happening in South Africa. Take a listen to how it went down.
Yamish, good to see you.
Thanks for taking the question.
Sure.
The president showed a video that he said showed more than 1,000 burial sites of white South Africans that he said were murdered. We know that that was not true and that the video wasn't showing that. So I wonder, why did the president choose
What's
to show
not
that?
True, Yamish?
It's not true that the video was showing a burial site. It is unsubstantiated that that's the case.
No, it is true that video showed the crosses that represent
the burial site, which what the president claimed.
The video showed images of crosses in South Africa about white farmers who have been killed and politically persecuted because of the color of their skin.
The president
and those crosses are representing their lives. Those crosses are representing their lives in the fact that they are now dead and their government did nothing about it. Are you disputing that there's no...
The fact that the video showed what the president claimed it showed because it did not show that. But even more, what I'm asking you is who at the White House...
No, it did show that. It showed white crosses representing people who have perished because of racial persecution.
Verifies the videos that the president shows and what protocols are in place when there's unsubstantiated information being put out for the world and world leaders.
Yamiche, what's unsubstantiated about the video? The video shows crosses that represent the dead bodies of people who were racially persecuted by their government. In fact, the Associated Press, of all places, has a picture of that very monument. And the caption from the Associated Press is, "Each cross marks a white farmer who has been killed in a farm murder." So it is substantiated, not just by that video and the physical evidence that everybody saw on display in the Oval Office, but also by another outlet in this room, the Associated Press. So you should take it up with them if you believe the claim is unsubstantiated. And that's a ridiculous line of questioning.
Hello. Well done, you, Caroline Leavitt. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you deal with the mainstream media. Now, the only thing, I will take her to task on one thing. She should have immediately ejected the MSDNC reporter from the White House press briefing room. No more questions for you. They're out of here. And good luck with that extra wazoo. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, we've been following the financials in this country for the past several months now. President Trump's tariffs, they're working. Countries are coming to the table. They're making deals. But a lot of you are just 1,000% invested in the stock market and with your savings accounts, your retirement accounts. And that is a dangerous thing. We have been telling you for a very long time to make sure that you diversify your savings and your retirement accounts. And that's one of the reasons why we're so happy to be partnering with Vault U.S. Gold. VaultUSGold.com/Todd Stearns is the website. That's VaultUSGold.com/Todd Stearns. And we're so excited to have with us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, a founding member of Vault U.S. Gold, Derek Pacheco. Derek, good to have you with us today.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on, Todd.
You know, Derek, again, a lot of people don't understand the necessity. Why do we need to diversify our savings and retirement accounts? What do you tell those folks?
That's a great question. So just as we've seen most recently with the global economy, you have significant influences on the economy, such as tariffs. So tariffs exert a significant amount of influence, and specifically, what we're telling our investors is you need to have a percentage of your overall portfolio, and to that effect, you can determine what percentage that looks like, but positioned outside of the stock market. Specifically with inflationary pressures, currency fluctuations, market uncertainty as of late, you've also been talking about this on your show with trade wars and geopolitical tensions. One thing has remained true, and that is gold as a way to hedge, protect, diversify against these economic pressures and create a safe haven of sorts, an asset, a physical asset, over time has yielded substantial results, protection for our investors.
So a lot of people say, okay, we get that, but why precious metals, and how is diversifying and adding precious metals to our retirement or savings, how is that actually going to protect us?
Sure. So typically as a historical indicator, precious metals, specifically gold, silver, they've acted as a way to diversify, hedge, protect your portfolio. And in fact, majority of the indicators there in performance, gold and silver have acted inversely to the overall market. So when there's global uncertainty, When there is supply chain disruptions, when there's central bank policies that negatively impact the dollar, precious metals have historically have acted as an inverse correlation. So if you take a percentage of your overall portfolio, you park it outside of dollar-derived assets, such as stocks, bonds, mutual funds. They're all backed by one thing, and that's the U.S. dollar. The strongest currency in the world, however, as a percentage of your overall portfolio, you could remove that, park it in a tangible asset that you ultimately control, and the results speak for themselves. If you look at gold historically, just over the past 5 years, the market in gold is up over 90%, 90. So certainly future performance isn't a guarantee, but past performance certainly gives us a glimpse into perhaps what the future may look like.
And again, the good news here is the tariffs are working and things are going to eventually turn into our favor. But it's a perfect time to go ahead and reevaluate, which is pretty much what you guys do. And you help folks make that transition where they can diversify, you know, their savings and their finances.
Absolutely. Hit the nail on the head. What we try to do here at Vault US Gold is walk folks through the learning process, you know, give them ample resources to determine if gold and silver ultimately is a benefit for their portfolio. And I can say with overwhelming resound that most of the folks that we walk through the process see the value in placing gold and silver into their portfolio. Again, the results speak for themselves, but we support the investor, we give them information, we walk them through the process, and then ultimately it's their decision of whether or not it makes sense to place gold and silver into their portfolio.
All right. And if, again, folks, the website, vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns. That's vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns. One of the things that you guys are recommending to folks, and I'm fairly new to this one, is the gold IRA. How does that work?
Correct. So, Todd, in that particular case, if an investor has an existing, say, 401k with their company, an old 401k, perhaps an individual moved companies or they're now retired, what an investor can essentially do there is they can roll over that account tax and penalty free. So that's the key word there, tax and penalty free, into what's called a self-directed IRA. So essentially it's an IRA, whether it's a traditional or a Roth or a SEP IRA, self-employed account. You can roll that over and place physical gold, silver into the account. So instead of having the traditional stocks, bonds, mutual funds, you know, typically what you would put into a retirement plan, now you have the ability to put an alternative asset, as in gold, silver, into the plan instead.
And this is something that you guys can help people out with on your website, or they can call. Is that right? The number, and write this number down, folks, 833-511-4653. That's 833-511-4653. What's going to happen? People call that number and they want to make sure they're not being like strong armed into signing up here.
Correct. You'll be connected to a live Los Angeles-based professional, an actual human being, not a robot or an AI person. You're connected to a professional that will walk you through slowly educating you throughout the process. We would send you written documentation that details this process. And so, therefore, you can be rest assured that you're being provided the most amount of education resources up front before ultimately consummating the transaction. So the key there is understanding the process, understanding what your options are, understanding most importantly what the costs are associated with this, and then move into what your options are in terms of the investment piece, the gold, silver, physical, tangible metals, coins, bars. So, Todd, we educate the customer throughout the process, and it's great to be a part of your show because we can educate folks that are new, possibly, to this investment here from start to finish.
Look, I think this is, it's a great thing you guys are doing. And again, Derek, this is all about being prepared. So it doesn't matter if you're, 20, 21 years old or you're 81 years old. You know, this is an opportunity for you to protect your savings or start if you're, you don't want to start young. And a lot of people don't think about that, Derek, but if you do start saving for retirement at a very young age, you're going to be in great shape down the road.
Absolutely. Couldn't attest to that more. We help new and experienced investors alike, whether you're, you know, just starting your career or frankly, you're retiring from a certain career. At the end of the day, we provide folks a comprehensive analysis to broaden perhaps their investment choices. And by adding gold and silver historically into your portfolio, again, as a way to protect, preserve, diversify your assets, has worked very, very well for many, many clients that we've helped over the years. So it boils down to fully understanding what your choices are. You know, now, obviously, with tariffs, with all the market uncertainty, everything we already have spoken about before is a perfect time to take a look at gold and silver. And again, the performance speaks for itself.
All right. So again, folks, I want you to go check them out. These are good people. They're not going to strong arm you. They want to make sure you're educated. They're going to take good care of you because you are members of our great audience here. And I want you to write down the website address, vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns. That's vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns. You're going to get a free gold IRA guide if you go to the website. You can give them a call as well. That number, 833-511-GOLD. That's 833-511-G-O-L-D. And you'll be able to talk to an American who will be answering the phone and taking your questions and providing you with answers here. And it's an important thing, and especially grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, you got a kid, grandkid. What a great way to get them started early and get that into their daily routine, their financial routine. Derek, we got to leave it there, my friend. Always great hearing from you guys.
Thank you very much, Todd. Appreciate being on the show, and I look forward to talking to our fellow Americans here.
All right, Derek Pacheco, ladies and gentlemen, from our friends at Vault U.S. Gold. And again, I want to get that number out because this is important, right? And there are so many people out there that are trying to, you know, they try to push you into doing something, and that is not what these guys do. And we've talked to them one-on-one, and we were really, that was really the selling factor for us, is that they do not strong arm you. Again, 833-511-4653. That's 833-511-GOLD. We'll be right back. All right, these federal judges are back at it again. This time a federal judge in Boston, appointed by Sleepy Joe, is now objecting to the president's plan to deport a number of illegals that have been convicted of murder, rape, child sex crimes, and robbery. This is insanity. The illegals from Mexico, Cuba, Laos, Burma, and Vietnam, also South Sudan. And the problem here, according to DHS, is that these countries don't want these people back. The illegals to be deported included 5 convicted murderers, 1 convicted robber, 1 convicted child sex predator, and a convicted rapist, and a partridge in a pear tree. Several of the illegals were also convicted of assault, 1 convicted of kidnapping, in addition to his murder conviction. Judge Brian Murphy, he's from the U.S. District Court for the District of Massachusetts by President Biden, says that President Trump violated an injunction he issued in April by deporting the illegals. All right, is anybody tired of this nonsense? Anybody tired of these activist judges out there? Judge Murphy now ordering the Trump administration to either fly the illegals back to the U.S. from South Sudan or allow them to go through a reasonable fear interview so they can challenge their deportation. Here's a thought. Why don't we find out if the judge has kids or grandkids and make the judge house all of these murderers and child predators in his house, in his backyard? By the way, that's not the only thing. We got word earlier in the show that a federal judge has ordered the Trump administration cannot fire all of these Department of Education employees. So, ladies and gentlemen, as it stands right now, because of these federal judges, we have not been able to accomplish any of the Trump agenda. Not anything. And it just seems to me at some point we have to take a long, hard look at Congress. Somebody's going to have to sit down with the speaker and say, Mr. Speaker, it's time to defund the federal courts, because that's what Congress has the right to do. Congress can defund or even abolish the lower federal courts. And I would say it is now time to follow through and do that. Otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, nothing is ever going to get accomplished. And everything we're so excited about, it will not be done because of these judges who believe they have power over the President of the United States. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I love this. Congress Gal Jayapal and Secretary of State Marco Rubio going at it over student visas yesterday. Cut number two.
A student was a guest in the United States on a student visa. No one's entitled to a student visa.
So you revoked her student visa based on an op-ed which trumps the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution.
Someone's coming up here to stir up problems on our campus. We're going to revoke their visa.
She didn't do any of that. She wrote an op-ed.
Well,
she wrote an op-ed, and I'm talking to you about her particular case.
That's her lawyer's claims and your claims. Those are not the facts.
You, reclaiming my time, you revoked her student visa because she wrote an op-ed.
Would you revoke? We're going to do more. We will revoke the visa of anyone who's in this country as a guest who's here to stir up trouble.
Are you going to revoke?
Good for you, sir. Good for you, Mr. Secretary of State. You don't have a right to come here to America and hate our country, spit on our flag, burn it, hate America, then try to stir up a mob, an anti-American mob. You don't have a right to do that. You go back to where you came from. Then Columbia University, they still haven't got the message. We've got Mahmoud Khalil, who was, by the way, this guy was stirring up the mobs that led to what happened in Washington, D.C. last night. Columbia University's president actually defended Mahmoud Khalil in commencement exercises, and the Jewish students and their families could not believe it. Take a listen. Cut one.
And let me also say that we firmly believe that our international students have the same rights to freedom of speech as everyone else, and they should not be targeted by the government for exercising that right.
Shut up, lady.
And let me also say that I know many in our community today are mourning the absence of our graduate, Mahmoud Khalil.
People, and then the whole crowd just exploded in rage. You should hear it. Just unbelievable. This is where we're at in this country, where people who come here, these international students, and when you go to Columbia and look at some of these other schools, the numbers of foreigners that we're educating at taxpayer expense, mind you, it's insanity. Just insanity. But could you imagine being a Jewish student, you spent 4 years at Columbia, and then you've got the president of your university standing up and saying, we've got to give quarter to Jew haters. That's what the president of Columbia University was saying, is that we've got to find a space for Jew haters to come and to target our students. That's what she's saying there. And again, ladies and gentlemen, and I say this with great respect to the Trump administration, why have we not defunded all of these people? What are we waiting on? Why? All right. If you do it one more time, we're going to yank your money. One more time. All right. One more time. And then they do it again. One more time. And they do it again. One more time. And they do it again. One more time. What are we waiting for here, ladies and gentlemen? These people are not going to change their stripes. We know who they are. We know what they believe. We know the hate. We know the evil. We see it. So what are we waiting on? What are we waiting for here? Let's go in and do it. you think that we're going to somehow win over the other side here? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. So now is the time, ladies and gentlemen, now is the time to defund all of these animals. It's really that simple. All right, we've got to scoot out of here. Hey, ToddStearns.com. Go look at the videos of what happened last night. Go and check out our great stories. You're going to want to watch the Pete Hegseth prayer. We've got that video as well. Again, ToddStearns.com. Folks, we will see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, on Newsmax TV. Be good, America.